Good afternoon. Will you greet your neighbor and tell your neighbor, good afternoon, welcome. If you are our guest and you need counseling, you want prayer, you are hungry, if you are the guest, we have a special room. After the service, you can go there for prayer, for counseling. What a joy it is to be here. Can I greet all of you? Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Not just Happy New Year, not just Happy New Year. Next Sunday, invite your friends, because I'm going to give a message on the significance of Christmas. It's a special topic. I want you to bring your friends next Sunday. Comprende? You know, some people, they don't ever go to church. They only go to church a few times. Wedding, anniversary, if ever, Christmas, funeral service, maybe. So these are the few times. Baptism, okay, whatever it is, but next Sunday, it's the best time to invite people. Another announcement. When is our fasting and praying? Second week of January. So, just warning you. And then, next Sunday, the last week of January, is our leadership training. We want all of you to file your vacation leave as early as now, January 27, 28. Friday, Saturday, all group leaders, small group leaders, potential leaders, if you like to be trained, you come. It's 2 full days of training. That's our annual training. So I'd like you to come. I heard from our outreaches that many of our people were affected in Mindanao. A lot of them are hurting. So we have committed to help them financially. We have 2 outreach churches in Cagayan de Oro and the one in Iligan also. They are all affected. I heard this is the worst flood in the last maybe 40 years. Okay, this is their worst. So let us pray for them. Before we begin, I'd like to tell you about a short TV show that we saw. It's called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Have you seen that? Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Now, my wife and I were watching this show, and the guy was pretty smart. He reached 200,000 pesos. Now, after $200,000, the host asked, you want to continue? Or you can take home $200,000. This guy said, I want to continue. So they asked him questions about U.S. history and different, you know, choices. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, who said what? Remember those quotations? Give me liberty, give me death. He chose the right answer. Wow! He won $500,000. The next question, would you want to continue? Or you can go home with $500,000. I was telling my wife, if I were him, I would go home already. And negotiante, ba? The guy said, no, I will continue. $1 million. I was saying, this guy is something else. He was willing to risk everything. Because you lose everything, understand? Except I think they give you $25,000. The question asked was, what was the first satellite launched by the United States in 1958? Oh, fifth grader, yeah, not fifth grader. You know, he was thinking and thinking. He gave an answer. Wrong answer. My heart sank, lost everything. The topic today is very appropriate. It has to do with contentment. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Let's read it together. Let's all stand up. Let's read the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say about contentment. If you don't mind, Philippians chapter 4, verses 11, 12, 13. If you have your Bibles, open to Philippians 4. If you don't have your Bibles, I still love you. Okay? Philippians chapter 4. We are here to learn from what God is saying. Everybody, look at the overhead now. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Everybody, let's read this together. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled, going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you for your word. Thank you that we have the freedom to study the Bible, the freedom to gather together, the freedom to sing, and the freedom to worship you. Once again, we want to pray for the flood victims in Mindanao, especially our brethren. Comfort them. Help us to help them. We also thank you for our president. We pray that you give our president wisdom how to run this country. Give him the strength to carry on his crusade against graft and corruption. I pray for his protection. I pray for his wisdom. I pray that you surround him with good people. And it is my prayer that you will protect him from those who are graft and corrupt. And now I thank you for our new worship center that's upcoming in Tenasita C5 area. I thank you for the many who have given sacrificially, willingly. Continue to bless them. Continue to bless our architect, to bless the contractor, that it will be completed in your time. And I now pray for everybody here, those who are hurting, those who are discouraged, that you will speak to us. Give all of us a humble heart. Open our hearts to listen to you. Lord, help us to realize worship is about you. We come together to sing to you, to worship you, and to listen to your words. Help me to speak clearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please sit down. Our topic this morning is very simple. Be content. Everybody say that with me. Be content. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, be content. I'm not convinced. Look at them in the eyes. Tell them, be content. I want to tell you a couple of things. Number one, what is contentment? What is not contentment? And then, why should you learn contentment? And lastly, how to experience contentment. But just remember one main theme. Be content. Everybody, say that with me. Be content. Let's begin. Philippians 4, verse 11. Paul says, "Not that I speak from want. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." The first thing I like you to know about contentment is, number one, you need to learn this. It is not natural. You are not born with a heart to want contentment. In fact, on the contrary, we are not contented people by nature. Yes or no? And I'm a grandfather. I have 10 grandchildren. I saw my grandkids. I won't tell you which one. But there was this game that people play. They hit the pot. Remember, they blindfold you, and then you hit something. When you hit something, the coins will come down, or candies will come down. Well, what do you call that game? Okay. You know what I'm talking about. Now, my grandson picked 2 coins, 2 1-peso coins. Will you be happy if you have 2 1-peso coins? Yes or no? He was happy for 3-4 seconds. Then he looked at his brother. His brother picked 8 pieces of coins, 8 peso coins. Suddenly, he's no longer happy. You know why? Because by nature, we compare. And that's why most of us are not contented. We compare. Do you know the purpose of mass media, how they make money, the advertising company? They want to create in you discontentment. Most people don't experience happiness because they don't know how to experience contentment. There's a Chinese saying, "Ti chok xiong lok." If you experience contentment, you learn to be happy. Well, they got that from the Bible. The Bible tells us joy and contentment are inseparable. Now, let me share with you certain things that I want you to learn about contentment. You need to learn this. Be humble. I'm learning contentment. I'm still learning. But you need to learn contentment is different from your circumstances. Let's read this together. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Paul, the Bible uses an amazing word. He's saying, I have learned the secret. In other words, this is something you are initiated to. You and I don't learn contentment from classroom. You learn contentment from the school of life. Paul wrote this when he was in prison. What Paul is telling us is, once upon a time, I don't know contentment. But as I walk with the Lord, as I experience good things and bad things, I learn how to be contented. I don't know about you, the same thing with me. You know, in life, you'll have ups and downs. The problem is, if you don't know how to deal with this, and you are not contented, you will never be happy. You will always be complaining. Paul is saying, I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to get along with prosperity. Let me ask you, which is easier to handle, prosperity or poverty? What do you think? Whisper to your neighbor. You can only have one answer. Poverty or prosperity? Which is easier to handle? You know, I was surprised when I read a study, especially for Christians. According to the research, 90% of Christians cannot survive prosperity. I was shocked. I said, what do you mean? It is like the people of Israel. When God began to bless them, they began to walk away from God. You see, when you are full of abundance, you are no longer dependent on the Lord. You are no longer prayerful. You become self-sufficient. Worst of all, you become proud. You begin to look at yourself and you say, you see, I did this. But people who are afflicted with trials, with problems, they become dependent. They pray. They're humble. So I submit to you, learn this message. Because contentment is something God wants us to have in order to protect you, to protect me. Paul tells us this is something he learned, not automatic. No wonder he commands us. The Bible commands us in the same chapter, verse 4. Let's read this together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do you notice something? Contentment is independent of circumstances. Contentment and joy are together. Joy and circumstances are independent of each other. Some people have lots of money, but they are miserable, they are sad. Some people don't have money, but they are joyful. Why? It is an attitude. Contentment is something you and I need to learn. Somebody gave me this wonderful definition, and it's from my wonderful wife. Let's read this together. Contentment is joyful submission to God's will. In other words, you are thanking God. You are joyful. Lord, I am joyful because I am where I am, because that's where you want me to be. I am doing what you want me to do, and I am having what you want me to possess. That is contentment. I am where God wants me to be. I am doing what He wants me to be doing, and I am having what God wants me to have. It is a submission to God's will. It is not resignation. Some of you are resigned to God's will. It's different. Some people can be resigned to God's will with bitterness, with anger. You are angry at God. You are angry at people. You want to change things in the heart. This is different from wanting to improve. I'm going to explain to you what contentment is not in a short while. Contentment is what? Submission, joyful submission to God's will. It is trusting God. It is saying, Lord, what I am right now, what I have right now, I trust you. Contentment is thanking God for what you have and committing to God what you don't have. It's God-centered. Now, let me tell you this something about discontentment. Let's read this together. Discontentment makes rich men poor, while contentment makes poor men rich. How many of you are rich? Raise your hand. Let me repeat. Let's read this again. Discontentment makes rich men poor. Contentment makes poor men rich. How many of you are rich? That's better. That's better. Some of you have to wake up. Gising na. Tell your neighbor, gising na. Okay, can you tell your neighbor, be content? Be content. Now you understand why some people are never happy? Contentment does not just deal with money. It deals with many things you cannot change. You know, what you cannot change, feel free to change. But there are certain things it's hard to change. For example, your looks. Somebody told me to mention this, your face. Are you happy with your face or you like to change it? Have you ever thanked God for how you look? What about your family? Have you thanked the Lord for your family? You know, some people are not happy with their marriage. I understand what you are going through. You are not happy. You are not contented with your husband. You are not contented with your wife. You want to change them. Can I tell you? You think by changing them, you'll be happy? I've seen men, women, different husbands, different wives, never happy. Because contentment is not external. It's internal. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, be content. Yeah, be content. I'm not saying your problems are not important. I know some of you have serious problems. I know some of us are having problem with marriage. I understand if you're single and you have hit the middle age and you don't want to celebrate your birthday anymore. It's hard. And people ask you, oh, kumusta? How are you? And you still say, don't ask me. Don't ask me. I understand that. There's nothing wrong with desire. Lord, I want to get married. But you know what? Are you willing to say, Lord, I thank you. I'm happy. At present, I am happy where I am. If you are not happy single, you will not be happy married. That I guarantee you. What about your physical disabilities? So it's not easy. Now, let me tell you what contentment is not. Contentment is not complacency. Contentment is not laziness. Contentment is not saying, I don't need to work. I don't need to have a job. I'm jobless. I'm contented. No, no, no. Don't use contentment as an excuse for being lazy. Let me share with you from the Bible. The Bible tells us, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. Because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship. We kept working night and day so that we may not be a burden to any of you. The Apostle Paul learned contentment, but he is telling us, don't be lazy. Work. You want my translation? Here is my new translation. Let's look at this verse. Even when we were with you, we give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, let him diet. Yeah, that's my translation. We spoil our children. We spoil young people today. They don't know contentment. Children today live in an age where they don't know how to say thank you. They are not appreciative. For them, you owe them a living. The world owes them a living. Listen to me. We are having a series on virtues. Last Sunday, we talked about the importance of purity. Remember? Purity. This Sunday, be content. Learn contentment. Turn to your neighbor one more time. Tell your neighbor, be content. Not always easy. Let me share with you why it is important. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's read this together. Godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. In other words, the Bible is telling us maturity and contentment, they go together. Just as joy and contentment, they go together. Godliness actually is a means of great gain. That's the word for mega, great gain, when accompanied by contentment. We have brought nothing into this world. We cannot take anything out of it either. You have to be intentional. You must say, you know what? I need to learn contentment. He tells you, if we have food, everybody read. If we have food and covering, with this we shall be content. In other words, you got to have a perspective. You have to see God's program. You have to have eternal perspective. If we have food and covering, with this we shall be content. Let's continue reading. But those who want to get what? Rich. Fall into many foolish, harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. May I suggest the word snare? Let's read that together. Those who want to get rich. How many of you want to get rich? Be honest with me. You want to get rich. Raise your hand. Don't be shy. God knows your heart. Even if you are lying to me, God knows. All right? You know, what does it mean to want to get rich? I will explain to you in a short while. The context will explain to you. Desiring to have money is not a problem. It is when that becomes your main preoccupation, when that becomes your God, when that becomes your number one priority. I'll explain that to you in a short while. The Bible says those who want to get rich, be careful now. It's a warning. Be content. Why? You will fall into temptation. What else? Snare. What do you mean by temptation? You will compromise. You will violate your own conscience. Sometimes to get a business deal, you will compromise your Christian ethics. And then the Bible says you will fall into a snare. And what? Many foolish, harmful desires. Now, let me ask you, what is a snare? How many of you like fishing? You tried fishing. Be honest with me. I know some of you like fishing, okay? When my wife and I visit my in-laws before, when they were still alive, we will go fishing. And I will borrow his fishing gear. I noticed something. The baits are very, very attractive. I saw the baits, all kinds of worms, colored worms. In the Philippines, the only worm I know is bulate, okay? But they have all kinds of worms. And then they have all kinds of, they have flies, colored flies, because it depends on the kind of fish. And then I noticed they have all kinds of colored fish in the bait. These are plastic fish, but they are not exactly plastic. They look like fish, move like fish. In fact, I saw Nemo. You know Nemo? I saw Nemo there. Now, what is the purpose of a snare? This is the purpose of a snare. When you bring it down the water, the snare will now say, fishy, 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 come, 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 smell me, taste me, try me, bite me, eat me. Now, once you eat that, what happens to you? The fish is caught. That's the picture. If you don't learn contentment, the Bible says, let's read that verse one more time. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation, a snare, many foolish, harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. The word plunge has the idea of somebody drowning. You are gasping for air. You are drowning. You see, most people do not drown purposefully. In the pursuit of money, you don't realize you are about to destroy yourself. And that's why God warns us. You need to understand the importance of the practice of contentment. Be content. It is not laziness. It is not complacency. So where's the balance? Let me share with you. Let's read the next verse. The love of money. This is the most misquoted Bible verse in the whole world. They usually say money is the root of all sorts of evil. Money is not evil. Money is neutral. You can use money to bless people. Money is an instrument. But don't allow money to master you. You must master money. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. You know why? Because it becomes your number one priority. Some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves. Notice the picture of a spear piercing your heart with many griefs. How many of you read the story of Leo Tolstoy? I know you and I are not in the habit of reading these old classics. He talked about the story of a farmer. This farmer was very happy. Leo Tolstoy, he wrote about how much is enough. This farmer was happy. He had a nice farm with his family. Then somebody told him, there's a place, there's a country where you can get as much land as you want. And the farmer that night could not sleep well. He began thinking, I need more land. He was no longer happy. He brought his family to visit this place. He met the king and the people, and they all welcomed him. And the king told him, "It is true. You can have as much land as you want on one condition. In the morning, you walk, you stake all the land that you want. But before sunset, you must come back to the original place where you began." Comprende? Of course, at that time there was no word comprende, okay? But that's my addition. So this guy got so excited, he could hardly sleep at night. The next morning, the king was there. Before sunrise, he was there. And then he chose a spot where he's going to begin. And he began to walk. So excited. Sunrise. He began to stake the place. And then he decided, "Why should I walk? I will run. There's no prohibition." So he ran. Stake. Run. Run. He kept running and running. Then he looked up. Wow. It's almost 12 o'clock. He's getting tired. But he doesn't want to eat. You know why? He wants to run. He wants to get more place. So he kept running. Running. Then he looked up. Wow. It's already afternoon. And then he remembered, you got to go back to where you began. So he began to run, to go back. And then he saw the hill. The sun was about to go below the hill. He was panting, he was panicking. Then he ran. When he went on top of the hill, hallelujah, of course he did not say that. But in his mind, wow, the sun is still there because it was a hill. But then he discovered that was not the place where he began. There's another hill. So he ran down. He ran. His feet, they were bleeding. All kinds of scratches. He kept running, running. And the king was waiting for him. Everybody was saying, "Come on, come on, come on." Finally, it was getting dark. The sun was about to set. He climbed. He crawled to the top. His heart was bursting. And he made it to the top. Then he collapsed. They couldn't wake him up anymore. He had a heart attack. He died. You know what they did, the servants? They dug a burial plot for him. 2 feet by 6 feet. How much land do you need? Now, before you laugh at him, many of us are like this farmer. Never contented. Always want more. More. Listen to me. The temptation to want more will forever be in your heart. You need to learn to manage that tension. Be content. Turn to your neighbor. Be content. One more time. Be content. Why? It's going to affect you. It's going to hurt you. Notice. Verse 11. Let's read. Flee from these things, you man of God. In other words, this word flee does not refer to sexual sin only. Many times we think it's talking about sexual sin. No, no. It's talking about contentment. It's talking about greed. Flee from these things, you man of God. I have a friend who used to attend Bible study when we were in San Francisco. He's a businessman. He's successful. But something got to him. Remember years ago, there was this housing boom. His house was fully paid, no mortgage. He decided to mortgage his house, to buy another house. And then the price of the house went up. He mortgaged that house to buy another house. You know why? Because the houses were going up. It's called, he was greedy. And then the housing bubble burst. People began to lose their jobs. He could not rent out the house. He could not pay the mortgage. I felt sorry for my friend. He lost the new house that he bought. He lost the second house. And eventually, he lost his first house. Be content. What's the balance? You do your best. You do your best. But don't violate scriptural principles in the pursuit of money. The Bible warns us about borrowing. This guy did not follow biblical warning. He just kept on going, expanding and expanding. Eventually, it caught up with him. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, be content. No, I'm not convinced. You look at them in the eyes. Be content. This is something that will help you. It's not easy. It is independent of circumstances. I asked permission from my wife to tell you about this principle. When my wife left America, when she left San Francisco area, she came to the Philippines. Her first house was near a garbage dump. She said every morning when she would walk to take a ride, she would see those garbage. And then the Lord spoke to her. The Lord said, you look up. So my wife looked up, and she discovered that the sky in Manila is the same as the sky in San Francisco. Hallelujah. So she looked up. So she would not look at the garbage. She looked at the sky. She could be thankful. And then the Lord moved her to another house. In that house, they were all chipping in. These are single missionaries. She was staying in the smallest room. But she was paying the highest amount per person. Is that fair? It's not fair. But she learned contentment. I realized why. Because my wife was being prepared by God to marry me. Praise God. We have been married 38 years. My first income when we got married was 2,500 pesos a month. We ate galonggong, talbos ng kamote. I rented a house. Our running water is called law of gravity. We don't have hot water. It's called natural. Everything is natural. But you know what? As I look back, never have I ever heard my wife complain. Not once. Not once did she say, I wish we could have never. So honey, I want to thank you. I really praise God. Contentment is something you need to understand. It is stewardship. It is not about your happiness. It is trusting God. What God has given you, and you make the most out of it. What do I mean? You see, idolatry, let's read this together. Idolatry is trusting people or possessions to do for me what only God can do. Let me explain to you. There is a God-shaped vacuum. In every man's life, in every woman's life, you have a vacuum in your soul. That vacuum, that emptiness, has to be filled. It is called the law of vacuum. When there's a vacuum, it has to be filled. Now, most of us, we are very sincere, but we don't understand that vacuum. So we want to fill it with money. First of all, for some people, if I had money, I would be happy. For some people, it's relationship. If I have a boyfriend, if I have a girlfriend, I'll be happy. For some people, it is marriage. For some people, it's a family. If I have children, I'll be happy. Let me tell you the story of Mildred. Mildred is not a member of CCF. But if I tell you her story, it will be just like many of our friends. Mildred has a vacuum in her soul. In her mind, what will make me happy is a family. So her goal in life is to find somebody to be her husband and to have children. That's what happened to her. She found a man. They got married. They have children. What was Mildred's problem? Because in her mindset, family will make me happy. That's her idol. So she made her husband to be the kind of person in her mind he should behave. She wanted her children to behave in a way that she would like them to behave. In short, she became over-controlling. Now, when you become over-controlling, what happens to the man? In Tagalog, parang nasasakal. In English, choke. The man feels strangled. What happens to the children if you're over-controlling? They feel what? Choke. They feel strangled. Now, when you feel choke and you feel strangled, what do? You avoid. There are many of you. You may not realize your idol. All of us have idols. For some, it's money. For some, it's relationship. You are thinking, these people will make me happy. My children will make me happy. My husband will make me happy. My job will make me happy. And then you are hoping that you have a perfect job. And then you discover there will not be a perfect job. There will not be a perfect environment. Can I tell you why? Because intimacy is the secret of filling the vacuum. Intimacy with God. Nothing else will fill that vacuum. And some of you are trying. And now you begin to understand, that's why I always feel empty. Do you know there are many rich people today? They are thinking at first, if I have more money, I'll be happy. They have money. And then, if I have a new house, I'll be happy. They have a new house. But then after a new house, after more money, what do they feel? Still empty. I know somebody very successful. He is one of the chief executives of the Fortune 500 companies. When he was listening to this principle, he began to say, that's me. That's me. I have everything. You know, when he would buy suit, he does not buy one pair of suit. He buy 10 pairs of suits. Understand? He has so much money. When he buys shoes, not one pair. He buys all the expensive shoes. He said, I get the thrill. That's my thrill. Shopping. And then after buying it, by the time I reach the car, I feel empty again. Do you know that song? Mamma Mia, money. Do you know that song? Well, if you don't know, it's okay. I'm not going to sing. This is the secret. Look at this verse, everybody. Whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You see, not everybody will understand this verse. The Bible tells us only God can satisfy the longing of your heart. But you will never experience this until you surrender. What do I mean? Let me give you an example. If I tell you I'm good in baking, I'm one of the best cook, will you believe me? Of course not. But assuming I bake a cake and I tell you this is my cake, I want you to eat this. It will nourish you. It's the best health cake in the Philippines. Will you eat my cake? Assuming you will not eat, what must I do to make you eat? I will tell you how I will do it. I will lock you up in the room. And I will not give you food for 3 days. I will only give you water. On the third day, I will now tell you, would you like to try my cake? What will you do? You will taste it. And after tasting it, what will you say? Wow. Assuming it's really good, okay? Wow. This is good. What's my point? There are many truths in the Bible that you will not know until you experience. When God gives you a promise, some of you will not believe this. Because God's word is not to be put in the head, in the heart. And until you apply it, until you taste it, the Bible tells us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that is why sometimes God takes away your false idols. And that's why sometimes God allows you to have problems. He takes things away so that you learn to realize, even without them, I can survive. I've heard singles telling me, if I don't marry this person, I will die. Mommy, daddy, I need to marry him. If I don't marry him, I will die. And after marrying him, I cannot live with him. I will die if I live with him. My goodness. All of those things are what I call deception. Because you are thinking you need it in order to survive. You need it in order to be happy. You need it for your life. And that is not true. And the only way for God to teach you many times is to deprive you of your idols. God loves you. But you won't experience this until you surrender. How many of you have heard of Fanny Crosby? Fanny Crosby was born a normal child. She loves to play. But when she was very little, the doctor messed up her eyes. She had an eye infection. She became blind. A few months later, her father died. So at a very young age, she lost her eyesight. She lost her father. Her mother, her grandmother took care of her. She learned to memorize Bible scriptures. Instead of becoming angry, she fell in love with Jesus. Yet she was blind. She learned how to read through the Braille system. She learned music. She learned how to play the harp. She learned how to play the piano. She became the most prolific hymn writer, if you ask me, in history. She wrote 8,000 hymns. The song that you just sang this morning, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Remember that song? That was written by her. She needed 200 different names. The publisher said, I need to give you 200 different names so that people will not think everything is written by you. If you stack up her music, it will be 15 volumes of music. Why? Because Fanny Crosby discovered that life is about stewardship. At the age of 8, she wrote the following. Let's read this together. Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy, the other people don't. So weep or sigh, because I am blind, I cannot. Nor I want. It's a choice. Contentment is intimacy with the Lord. Do you realize contentment is thanking God for what you have and not focusing on what you don't have? You want to learn contentment? Count your blessing. Focus on what you have, and leave what you don't have to the Lord. Don't keep looking at the other pasture. Remember that saying? The grass is always greener on the other side. Not true. At the end of her life, this is what she wrote at the latter part. If I had a choice, I would still choose to remain blind. For when I die, the first face I will ever see will be the face of my blessed Savior. That, my friend, is intimacy with the Lord. You cannot be satisfied with Jesus until you know Him. You will always never be contented until you are intimate with the Lord. And there are times the only way to be intimate with the Lord is when He takes away everything. And the only thing you have left is the Lord. Oftentimes, this is what I've discovered. You discover that when everything is taken away from you, and the only thing you have is the Lord, that is the time when you realize God is sufficient. Other than that, everything is theory. What's the secret? You will say, I don't think I can do it. Here's the secret. Look at the Apostle Paul when he wrote Philippians chapter 4. Look at that verse in verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The context of I can do all things through Him is not God changing the environment. God can change your boss. God can change your environment. But this verse is talking about God will change you from the inside. He will give you the power so that you can face difficult circumstances. That is the context of this verse. Look at verse 12. I know how to get along in humble means. I know how to get along in prosperity in all circumstances. And then look at verse 13. I can do all things. You see, contentment is from the Lord. It is intimacy with God. If you don't know the Lord, no matter how hard you try, you will have a hard time. Because contentment is supernatural. It is knowing Jesus. When you have Jesus, you experience His love, you experience forgiveness, you experience intimacy with Him. What else do you need? Everything else is a bonus. I praise God for my wife. I praise God for my children. I praise God for the ministry. But listen, I do not look to ministry. I do not look to money for my what? Fulfillment or security. My security, my joy should be where? In the Lord. Can you look at your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, be content in the Lord. Yeah, be content. Okay? Be content. Many people don't realize the next few verses, which you usually don't read. Read the next few verses. What does it say? Let's read this, Philippians 4:19. Look at the context. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Let me explain this verse. My God, that is the meaning of intimacy. My God, I know Him, my Lord. Will what? Supply some. What? Are you sure? What is all in Tagalog? Lahat. What is all in Chinese? Oh, long song. Very good. All. What is all? In English. All. Okay? My God will supply all. All of your what? Needs. What's the difference between needs and wants? God knows your needs. So I tell single, if getting married is your need. You see, many years ago, that's my prayer. I said, Lord, I don't think I am made to be single. I was honest with God. But Lord, if you want me to be single, it's okay. But Lord, I know I am not designed to be single. Oh, what did God do? God imported somebody from the States. I know of somebody who was very contented being single. She was very happy, full of joy. Because she was contented, she was very happy. The Lord said, you know what? My plan is for you to get married. So she met the right person. But she was never looking for somebody. Ladies, gentlemen, if you're always looking, I need a husband, I need a wife. Can I tell you, the man will run away from you. You know why? Because imagine I need you. You make me happy. You make me happy. That's awful. Can you imagine? And now you transfer that need from your spouse to your children. You want to control your children so much so that they will make you happy. Listen to me. Some of it is your job. I need my job. If your job is your God, okay? If something happens to your job, your life is devastated. My friend, God will prove to you that even without your job, it is not the end of your life. Do you believe if God will allow you to lose a job, He can give you a better job? Yes or no? It takes faith. It takes intimacy with the Lord. But some of you don't understand this concept. Too many idols. We have many idols in our lives. You need to understand. Intimacy with God is the secret of contentment. Are you happy with Jesus? How many of you understand the meaning of this? My God will supply all your needs. Everybody read the last part. According to His... Notice, according to His riches. Let me explain to you. What is the meaning of according to? If you and I go to Bill Gates, and we tell Bill Gates, Mr. Bill Gates, the Philippines need help. Our family is devastated by the hurricane. Will you help us? Bill Gates, look at you. Okay, I'll help you. He writes a check, $100. That is not the meaning of this verse. Bill Gates gave you from His riches. This is according to His riches. Bill Gates, I need money. That's devastation. Okay, he wrote a check. $10 million. That is according to His riches. When God will meet your needs, is it from or according? According. God is not somebody very stingy. But He knows exactly your needs. He knows how much you can take. If He gives you too much, you will drown. Mamatay ka. sa kayamanan. You don't believe me? I've seen people destroyed by money. I know of a Christian leader. He was faithful in teaching Bible, but he never dealt with money issue. He loved money. He began to compromise biblical principle. In the process, his ministry went under. Be content. Tell your neighbor, be content. To be content, you need to know the Lord. You need to trust Him. You need to believe God is on your side. That God will supply all of your needs, provided it's a need. Yes or no? Louder. Do you believe God is good? Why do we compromise? Why do we cheat? How many of you have heard of this guy? Carl Maynard. Carl Maynard was born without arms and legs. He had only arms up to the elbow. Carl could have prayed, Lord, I will be happy if you give me arms. Lord, I will only be happy if you give me legs. Lord, I will only be happy if you make me normal. You want to know about this guy? I'll show you from the video. Learn from this guy, Carl Maynard.
My name is Kyle Maynard. In the next 6 months of my life, going out there, I'm trying to achieve some things that a lot of people would have thought I'd never be able to do.
When we were born, you know, the world we realized wasn't really set up for Kyle.
Forgive me for being so blunt, but it seems to me that if a guy like you quits every time he can't do something the first time around, you're going to be quitting at a whole bunch of things.
Have out of a Kyle Maynard.
I believe in three major principles if you're going to conquer any type of adversity or obstacle in your life. I have always maintained a positive attitude and tried to make the most out of every situation. You have to set goals and you have to achieve them, and that's the key to success. And I believe that anybody, as long as you don't fear any challenge, can conquer anything.
You know, many people don't realize Kyle Maynard is a follower of Jesus. He understood, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches. I can do all things through Christ who is strengthened me. Do you know that he went to the level of joining the championship wrestling match in the state? He almost won the state championship in wrestling. You know why? His very weakness became his strength. You cannot grab his arm. You try to wrestle with him. You cannot grab his legs. He has no legs. Many times, your very weakness becomes your very strength for God to use. You see, contentment is about stewardship. It's not about your life. It's not about your happiness. It's fulfilling God's purpose for your life. So whatever is happening in your life right now, whatever problems you have, you must have the attitude, Lord, life is stewardship. You have given me the following cards. I want to do it right. I will trust you. I will thank you. In the meantime, give me the strength to do what you want me to do. That's the meaning. Be content. Because your very strength becomes your very weakness becomes your very strength. Some of you will say, these are all theory. It's not. You notice, when I gave you that promise, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches. Do you know the context of that promise? My God will supply all of your needs. It has to do with the giving. Some of you don't trust God. That's why you don't tithe. You don't give. In CCF, you notice, we don't pass around tithing boxes. Because I believe giving is a privilege for me to be blessed. You are not doing the church any favor. If you are our guest, we don't expect our guests to give any money. You know why? The Bible, God promised you, I will be the one to bless you. My God shall supply what? All your needs. Who is this addressed to? It's addressed to the Macedonians, to the people who gave sacrificially. The only way you will experience the goodness of God is to believe His promises and do it. In your love life, in your financial life, in your career, you follow God. What's the secret? Let's read this together. Contentment is believing that God is good to me now. Is God good to you now? Sure, I know. Even your problems, will God use your problems to bless others? You know, all your mistakes, God will use it if you are humble enough to admit them. This is the secret. You know, I look at the different verses in the Bible. I look at different verses on contentment. And one thing I notice, contentment is always connected with the Lord. Last verse, let's read this together. Make sure, everybody, make sure your character is free from the love of money. Being content with what you have. That is the force of a command. Be content with what you have. Why? Everybody read. For He Himself has said. Underline that in your Bible. He Himself. This is what you call emphatic. It is used in the emphatic sense. He Himself. Not me. Not the pastor. God Himself said. What did He say? I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. This is the strongest negative promise you'll ever find in the Bible. It's called the double negative. I will never ever, no, I will never ever ever leave you or forsake you. God is saying, that's my promise to you. Are you having problems? Are you feeling down? God is saying, I will never ever ever never ever leave you. You see, friends can leave us. Family can leave us. But God gives you a promise. I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. The word forsake is a beautiful word. It is used to describe a man holding the hand of a child. And God is saying, I will never relax. I will never let go. Some of you are discouraged. You have so much problem. I have good news for you. Let's close with this verse one more time. Everybody, I will never what? Desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Do you know in the original language, the Lord is my helper, there is no is. Literally, the Lord, my helper. That's the name of God. The Lord, my helper. Now let me ask you, are you humble enough to go to the Lord? How can you claim this promise? If you don't know the Lord. Some of you are religious. I know. Some of you know about Christmas. You know about Jesus. That's why I want to invite you next Sunday. I will tell you the meaning of Christmas. In the meantime, have you surrendered your life to the Lord? This promise is yours. God loves you. But God is saying, why don't you come to me? You have many idols in your life. You got to surrender those idols. Now, I don't know what are those idols. Relationship, people, compromises. I don't know. But God is saying, I'm waiting for you. Will you surrender? You see, many years ago, I surrendered everything. I realized surrendering is not a once for all. Then I discovered, oops, I've not surrendered this part. Oops, I've not surrendered this. Finally, I said to the Lord, my children, my family, my ministry, everything, I surrender to you. Because God is more than sufficient. That's my prayer. That you learn that God is more than sufficient. Be content. Let's bow our heads. If you have never prayed to receive Jesus, if you have never understood the meaning of God is sufficient, I'd like you to pray this prayer. Something like this. It's a prayer of humility. It is a prayer of surrendering your idols to the Lord. It is the prayer of giving up counterfeit gods, substitutes for who God is. Lord, I surrender my life to you. I have many idols in my life. Lord, I finally realize only you can really satisfy the emptiness of my soul. Lord, I want to experience the reality of your fullness in my life. I ask you to be my Savior. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. I thank you that you rose again from the dead. I now invite you into my life. Be my Savior, be my Master. I give up all my other idols. I come to you. I surrender to you my future. I commit to you all my fears, my anxieties. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen and amen.